My name is Robert Rosema, and I'm a longtime member of Church of the Servant. I attend the 11 o'clock service with my wife, Lisa, and my two sons, Aiden and Seth, who are not here tonight. In many ways, we're the typical COS family. In a congregation that seems full of educators, we both teach. Lisa teaches English at Grand Rapids Christian High School, and I teach English at Grand Valley State University. Our boys attend Grand Rapids Christian Elementary, along with many of your children. In one regard, though, our lives may be different from yours. Our son Aiden has autism. In clinical language, he has been diagnosed with a neurodevelopmental disorder, the symptoms of which place him on the autism spectrum. More plainly, there's something not quite right about the way Aiden relates to and processes the world around him. He has trouble socializing with others, managing his emotions, controlling his body, transitioning between activities, fending off the anxieties that beset him. Medication and therapy help to regulate his symptoms, but life at home is a struggle. Most of the time, autism consumes our family. It wakes us up in the morning. It takes its place at the table, and it sleeps with us. It's unrelenting. But even as we view life through the prism of autism, we realize we are seeing through a glass darkly. We know there's light behind all of this, and it is Easter that reminds us. A few months ago in late winter, I was listening to Michigan Public Radio as I drove to work. The program featured an English professor from Kalamazoo College named Bruce Mills, who was reading from his memoir about raising his autistic son. The memoir is titled An Archaeology of Yearning. Struck by the similarity of our lives and moved by his reading, I emailed Bruce and I ordered his memoir. One passage has stayed with me. It has done more than stay with me. It halted me, halted my progress through the book. Reflecting on his son, Jacob, Bruce writes, "I began to grieve for a lost son, a child I had seen in my mind's eye, but had not embraced in life. In my private storytelling, the imaginings that preface Jacob's birth, I had done as many parents do. I had pictured the embodiment of the best of who I was or the best of what I could nurture in my future child's life. In a congregation that has lost sons to accidents, to disease, to addiction, to despair, it may seem ungrateful or false for me to mourn our son. He is here. We drive him to school every day. We get to love him, and we do so fiercely. But still, the passage utterly disarmed me. Our private imaginings for Aiden were impossible, it suggested. Whatever strengths our son possessed, he would not, could not be what Lisa and I had hoped. The truth and power of the words are undeniable. When I read these lines, I wept for our loss and put the book away. And yet, ending the story here would leave us in Lent, amid the ashes and the deprivation, when we know we are an Easter people, as Jack often says. For us, and perhaps for other families living with disabilities, it is Easter that restores our imagination, allowing us to believe that our children will be whole again. The death and resurrection of Christ lets us look over the walls into a new kingdom, where the weak will say, I am strong, the poor, I am rich, the blind, I can see, and the autistic, I can function. In one of my favorite illustrations, Jack describes just how far beyond our imagination this kingdom will be. He remembers playing on an old tree stump as a boy, pretending he was driving a car. If you had told him that day, he says, he would be driving a black Volkswagen Beetle 70 miles an hour down the highway with Bach pouring from the speakers. He would not have been able to comprehend it, to imagine it. As Paul writes, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But being an Easter people is more than just yearning for the future kingdom. It also means seeing the light of Christ in the world today. In the chaos of raising a child with a disability, we have experienced God's grace. And the love and support from our families, and the intelligence and understanding of his teachers, and the empathy of his therapists, and the school friends who stay by Aiden's side, and at Aiden himself. Whatever his imperfections, we know that he has an ardent love for Jesus, and this is what matters. He has recently come to the communion table here at COS to share the bread and the wine and to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And so Easter restores our imagination, renewing our most fervent hope for our children and for ourselves. Thank you.